Welcome back to the second part of our interview with Thomas DiCarlo of DiCarlo Animation as we talk about his animated feature film, The Encounter. Because it's so pioneering, I feel inadequate, to ask the right questions about what makes this so pioneering. I feel like you've given us some information about that. I think that the important part is what you talked about, like the studio budgets for the big blockbuster ones compared to what you're doing, the format, the grounding of those locations and everything, and that's part of it. What about animated characters? Forgive me if I'm completely using the wrong terminology. Are created on your computer in some sort of animation software or something, but do they have real people voicing them? And if so, how does that work for a full-length animated feature like what you're working on? That, because that would have to require some recording time, some commitment, some, is the script recorded, like the voiceover is recorded separately or in conjunction with as you're creating the visuals? Does any of that make sense? Do you kind of know what it's kind of like, how do you pull all this together, I guess, is my basic question, and I'm not sure how to ask it. So.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, a lot of animations will, they'll do all of the story, they'll do all the art, and then they'll bring the actors in, and the actors will then voice right before, the final animation. We're doing more of a TV style. So a lot of TV animation will bring in the artist first.
Okay.
And so their performances will then drive all of the animation.
Interesting. That's what I was trying to ask. Yes.
Yeah. So talk
about that a little bit. Yeah.
We're actually doing a, kind of a roundtable rehearsal.
Okay.
So it was inspired by the pandemic. I was like, if all these actors are stuck at home, let's try and get people together and let them Zoom and perform with one another. So we are doing this rehearsal where just like the five or six core characters can all get together and play off of one another. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting to me. I feel like that was appealing to people. We cast a lot of talent who have a lot of theatrical experience. So they're used to that sort of environment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, it's much more appealing when you have a role in creating the character instead of just showing up when everything is done and you're just adding the voice to it. So, and what's cool about that is that because I'm the writer, director, animator, I can sit at that rehearsal and I can make those decisions on the spot. I'm like, I like that. We're going with that. I can write new dialogue around that. I know how to animate that. And so it is kind of unique because of that scale, because I can sit there and work directly with the actors and make adjustments. And, my idea is, people really like the script and drew in really awesome talent. And, but I still hesitate about my writing. I'm like, this could be better. Like something about this inevitably could be better. And so part of that is let's just take these really experienced actors and, really see how they explore those personalities, how they mesh when they actually sit down and bounce those lines off of one another, and then make some tweaks and adjust things. We're not going to overhaul the film,
but we'll tease out
that chemistry.
I understand what you're talking about. This may not be a very good parallel, but it's one that sprung to mind. Is I write prose and poetry, and the difference to me between writing something and hearing it in my head, and then as opposed to actually reading it out loud, I have learned that it's a good idea to read things out loud that I've written, even if I'm just reading it to myself, because the tweaks will come. There's a different experience to something that's heard rather than internalized when you just read it to yourself. And I feel like kind of what you're talking about with this experience is that you, as the overall creator of these characters, their words, and what is going to be visually seen while they're speaking, is enhanced by that experience of having these actors, you know, flesh out these roles around, you know, a table in Zoom, if you will. It's kind of like our round table we used to record. That table behind me is actually my dining room table, and it's a 6 foot, you know, 2 inch butcher block. And we used to record at the round table. That's why we call our podcast At the Round Table. And when the pandemic happened, it was like, I'm going to use Zoom. I better take a picture of the table, you know? So I certainly can understand that idea of getting together with people in Zoom and trying to create something. I think that, you know, what you've tackled in, you know, this full-length film is probably a lot more complex in terms of themes and emotions and the complexity of the story and the characters, and that's got to be helped by that interaction between you and the actors as you're working in these kind of draft sessions for, you know, what'd you call it? Rehearsals. That's what they're called, rehearsals. You know, do you think that makes a big difference in how they see what you've envisioned in your script and how to play those parts in those moments of intense complexity and everything?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly set out to write something different than your typical animated film. So you can see a little bit of it in the short film that, you know, it's not written for kids, it's written for adults. And obviously the story is limited there, but with the bigger film, the feature film, it's very apparent that it's not written for kids. There's no child characters. You know, it's not a coming of age story. That's like 90% of all animated family friendly content.
It sounds very refreshing, actually.
So, you know, I wanted to make something that I found interesting, that I could sit down with my kids and watch. And there's shockingly little of that. You know, stuff is either written for kids that, you know, the adults just, you know, sometimes the stuff at the very, you know, top tier has content that's appealing to adults as well. But, but yeah, so I really wrote stuff for adults. There are adult problems. It's about workplace conflicts. It's about this, you know, engineer who's a rookie and has this experience and no one believes him. Mm-hmm. And his superiors are just like, you're the new guy. Like, you're the young guy. You don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so you get into some of those, you know, generational conflicts. There's, of course, the overarching theme of xenophobia, since you're talking about aliens and
the otherness.
Yeah. I mean, otherness is the
very
heart of the
story. Very important concept right now in our world today. I will just say that. So
yes.
Thank you for including that in your animated full length feature film.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, the heroine, the co-star who's voiced by Laura Gomez, she, is in, Orange is the New Black. And, so she's brings kind of a Hispanic perspective to it. And so, yeah, it's actually a bilingual film. So there's a lot of Spanish in the film, but that just compounds the otherness. So you've got the main character who is, you know, the engineer, the young guy, and the conflict. So it even branches into a little bit of that anti-intellectualism. But, you know, as I say that, I know that people jump on a lot of films that get in your face, but it's, you know, it's all subtle. It's all about the structuring of it, that, you know, you just have a guy who people don't believe. Well, he's the young guy. You have an agent who, you know, is Latina, and the other agents don't like her. She's a maverick. And you just see those hints without putting anything in anybody's face. You just see those hints of that underlying, you know, those conflicts and those dynamics.
Yeah. What I love about what you're saying, and forgive me if this sounds like I'm dissing our state of Indiana, but I love that you've put that kind of subtlety. It's not in your face. It's like the real world. You know, I think things like that can be, in the workplace especially, expressed very subtly, but you know they're there. And Indiana is kind of masterful at that. I think it's one of those states where, you know, it's this welcoming Hoosier hospitality state, but that's the surface. And then just under that is like this brick wall that it's very hard to break through if you're one of the otherness people, you know? And so I hope that I'm not, you know, sounding insulting to Indiana or anything like that, but it is something that I've seen over and over again as an artist, as a writer, as someone who is, you know, running a nonprofit that tries to promote and educate promote arts and artists of all kinds. And it just keeps, you know, I keep seeing it play out in the lives of the artists that we talk to, that, you know, there's this kind of very strange, invisible, but very solid brick wall there sometimes. And I think, you know, in the last several years, the whole country and the whole world has sort of seen the United States struggle with that kind of overarching concept of the people who are, shall I say, unwilling to embrace the otherness in people who don't look exactly like them or believe religiously exactly like them or something like that. And so I think it's really great that you intentionally are putting that into your characters' lives in a way that mirrors that subtle nature of those kinds of experiences in real life. I think that's very clever and very intriguing to me. I can't wait to see this movie.
Thank you.
I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, that as a creative, I've, you know, lived a life of otherness. So
exactly. I mean, that's something that I think people who don't, quote, do art, you know, do the arts, don't really understand, that artists are all a little bit, you know, different.
Yeah. And, you know, so I've always been, you know, lumped into various other categories. And of course, as a writer, like that's what you do. You imagine other types of experiences than your own and discover something that's interesting about those to you. And so, yeah, it just comes, it's hand in hand, you know,
it is. And the wonderful thing about that is that, whether you intend it or not, whether it's intentional or not, when it's well done and when it's subtle, those are the stories, whether they're books, films, whatever the format, those are the stories that become classics. Those are the things that people remember. Those are the things that change the world. And I feel like you're working in a genre that you're embracing new technology, you're embracing, you know, format that is original and relatively new to what you're trying to do, you know, and to push those boundaries is so exciting. Thank you so much for being here. I'm just so excited to hear about all of this. And I want to make sure that I mentioned to everybody that DiCarloAnimation.com, is that correct? Is the website. And your website, thomasdicarlo.com, also has an awful lot of good information on it. So definitely check those out, those websites out. Is there anything else you want to tell the people
about
your project?
The third website is theencountermovie.com.
Oh, yeah, theencountermovie. So I had that written down and I didn't say it. I apologize.
You'll get to it from either way.
Yeah, theencountermovie.com. Yes, don't forget that. And that's the website for the short, or is that for the...
It's for the feature.
For the feature, okay.
The short is on there as well, okay. So you can go and see...
Good. See what the basis is, the foundation. Yeah, that's so exciting. Okay, well, I just thank you so much for coming on the roundtable today and talking to me about this. I wish you just the greatest success, and I hope the pandemic doesn't get too much in the way of this project, because it just sounds fascinating.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.